Zilch isn't an invasive species, by the way. You don't want to catch those.
Zilch is an invasive species.
It is in my world.
Time for the Angler Within podcast with Roy Bilby.
So, I hear you've been on the ice.
I finally got on the ice. It was super early. And, well, the original plan was to meet at Glimmerglass at 3:30 a.m.
3:30 a.m. Okay, so you guys were looking for walleye.
We were looking for Lakers. But okay. We wanted to, my buddy Joel, I followed your advice. I went with somebody who knows what they're doing and has the gear and has an idea how to not ruin yourself for the day.
Right.
And I think that I pulled into the parking lot at 4 a.m. And we got on the ice.
He was already there?
He was there. He was unloading his truck when I pulled up. And he also brought his son with him. Proceeded to throw the headlamps on and walk out onto the ice. Dark out there. Man, is it dark. Otsego Lake is dark at 4 a.m.
Every place is dark at 4 a.m. It's a wonderful time of day. I always said, and I still firmly believe, the best 3 hours of the day are 4 a.m. to 7 a.m. before everybody else shows up and ruins it for you.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I still believe that.
So we walked our first 100 yards off the shore, drill a hole to check the depth, and it's only like
very deep
out
there.
Was like 11 and a half feet. And he's like, nah, but this isn't going to work. So we keep walking a little bit further, 19 feet. Got to keep walking. And it was funny because the topo map on the lake was showing that it should have been a lot deeper than it was. But whatever. So we kept going
out off of that bay. You got to go out a ways to get the depth he's looking for.
Yeah. So we finally got up to 55 and decided to set up there. But when he was drilling the first hole and he was trying to put his protective cap on the end of the auger.
Yeah.
He cut his thumb wide open.
Oh, on the blade. Man.
And he's staring at his thumb. I got the headlamp on his hand and it's just gushing blood everywhere.
Everywhere.
So he says, "Well, I better go back to the truck and get myself some first aid. You stay here with my son." So I stood there.
Now he's
got
to hike all the way back.
Yeah,
you
a couple
know,
hundred
if you
yards.
If you guys were pike fishing, you could have poured that in a coffee cup and used it.
Yeah, I know. Well, that wasn't happening.
Yeah, a different story for another day.
So by the time he got back to his truck, he said that it had already stopped bleeding. It was frozen, his hand. Because it was.
That's the beauty of the winter.
It was chilly out there. Clots fast, I guess, in the cold. He eventually came back out to us. We were watching the little headlamp, blink off in the distance, and finally he got back to us, and we walked further, found the 55-foot spot, and I did get appropriate with your help. I called you when I was at Bass Pro on Saturday.
Yep.
Because I was looking for appropriate boots to wear out there. And I feel like I'm officially an outdoorsman in upstate New York because now I own Muck style boots.
Yeah.
Never had them before.
Welcome.
So I got the 400 gram was what they had in my size. Sizes were bleak. They didn't have a whole lot there.
Well, and they're winding down the winter sales and getting ready for the spring. So
I got a Cabela's boot. I asked him straight up if it was going to go on sale next week, and he said no. I said, okay, good. So paid, I think it was like $159 for the Cabela's Instinct.
Yeah, I've got the same boots. And like I told you, when I'm running my four-wheeler and plow, and we got a big driveway, that's what I wear. And my feet stay toasty in those. They do.
No, it was fine. I mean, they're good to like -4, I guess, Fahrenheit. So
I love those boots. No. I've had mine for 4 or 5 years, and they're tremendous.
They were great. It's amazing how fast you can spend $150 in that store. It's incredible.
Yo, I can spend a lot more than that in a blink of an eye.
Well, so could I. Yeah, exactly. So, picked up the boots, got out of there, and was excited. You know, I had my snowboard bibs that I use for outdoor all the time. They're the pair I don't ever take snowboarding, so I was wearing those.
Oh,
and stayed relatively warm My feet were warm the whole time. I'll tell you what got cold was my upper torso. Because I got a little sweaty when I was walking, and I had technical layers on too. I mean, I was wearing base layers, and I was layered up. But once that glaze gets on you, wicking or not.
What was the temperature when you guys were out there?
That morning it was 28. It was 28 when we got there. It was warm, but you know, we got the shanty going, and once we got the buddy heater rocking and rolling, and I told him also to make sure we didn't blow ourselves up with the methane.
I mean, we're from the Northeast. Anybody below the Mason-Dixon line that's listening to this is going, 28 is warm?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we've been in a cold snap for so long. That was like t-shirt weather.
Yeah, it's been us in February up here in the Great White North. Yes, sir.
Exactly. So we got started, and eventually he went out and drilled, I don't know, six tip-up holes. He showed me how to avoid wind flags with tip-ups when the wind is blowing, how to position them properly in the...
And so many people don't do that.
Yep.
So many people don't do that. I take note of that every time, and I turn them into the wind so the wind is holding your flag in position, not blowing it up.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just such a common sense thing, but I see a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah. So I was taking, you know, having somebody that knew what they were doing was huge.
It is. That's why I say that.
So we ended up being out there for... We were there from 4 a.m. until 11:30. We were packed up, skunked.
Ugh.
And we were out there early because he wanted to go for Lakers, and doing his Google searches on Otsego Lake, he was seeing that there were rainbow smelt. And so he was convinced that we could jig up some smelt, use those as the live bait, and then catch some Lakers. That's what he wanted to do. And he had a Garmin Striker. I knew what that was from just hanging out with you. I was like, oh, it's a Garmin Striker. He said, how do you know what that is? I said,
it's a great, inexpensive, great, tremendous unit. Everybody's got them. They're phenomenal.
What's it, like a couple $100?
Like 150.
That's not bad. So
park 150.
So we had that going, and it was neat watching, you know, I learned how to read the screen, and I was watching my, you know, my jig on the screen as it went down to the bottom.
Yep.
And we were using spikes on sabiki rigs, little mealworm looking things.
Minute.
Yeah, he thought that was going to be like the golden bait, and we learned quickly that it was not.
Okay.
What kind of snacks do you bring out there with you?
I always have my best ice fishing partner is also my best partner in the deer stand, my buddy Stanley Thermos, that is. And I call my thermos Stanley because that's the name on it.
So sure.
In my journal, I'll write, it was just Stanley and I in the boat today, you know?
Yeah, sure.
But I always have a thermos of hot coffee, and I'll take nothing better than a turkey sandwich on the ice from a turkey that you shot in the spring. Wild turkey sandwiches, all you need. I like a good hearty rye bread. I slice the turkey fairly thick. Salt, pepper, mayo, that's it. As simple as can be.
You lost me at mayo.
I'll stop jigging to sit down with that and a cup of Stanley.
Now, absolutely. Roy will stop jigging entirely just to eat his wild turkey sandwich. Well, I tell you what, one of the things...
Did you say sandwich?
Sandwich.
That's my way my son likes to say it.
Sandwich.
See? Now there you go, getting tongue-tied.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. You builded you a sandwich at your house.
Builded you a sandwich.
So, my snacks that I brought were what was available at Dollar General at 9:45 p.m. the night before. So I had the Pringles and a box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and some water. I brought my coffee set up, and I didn't set it up, and here's why. As I was sitting in my chair in this cozy, warm shelter, which was, we had, I think, up to like probably 65, 68 degrees in there.
Yeah, toast.
The mail began to move a little. If you guys know what that, you guys are picking up and I'm putting down, the mail moved. My insides were coming to life because it was early. And I was trying to act like I wasn't sweating. sitting there with my stomach pain that I was having, because my internal clock was confused, obviously, as to why I was moving so much that early in the morning. And I could feel every centimeter of the previous evening's food traveling. And I was getting nervous. You know, I looked over at Joel, and he walked outside for a minute, and I said, what are you doing? And he said, I don't want to be in there if something happens. I said, something happens, and he was having the same situation I was. The both of us were in rough shape.
We were
trying to, like, you know, mitigate and wait for it to pass. No pun intended. We both were terrified to have any coffee. I brought my glass percolator out there and my little Coleman 502 stove. You know, I was gonna show off
now
with
you
that.
Said, and he had a five-man shanty.
He had a five-man shanty.
Yep.
And of course his son is like rooting us both on, telling us both to load our pants up, and we're like, no, we're not gonna do that. He's seven.
Seven. Yeah, there you go. It would be awesome.
Yeah, it was not gonna be awesome. Nothing is awesome about that. And I looked at him, I said, you're gonna have to smell your dad the whole ride home if he does that.
Yeah.
He didn't care. He was sitting there eating brownies. I'm watching this kid eat brownies at 5 a.m. and I'm like, oh God. How can you do that?
Yeah. He's seven. That's how.
But he was in and out of sleep too. That kid slept in his little folding chair like most of the time we were out there. I was also jealous with that, because that was, I tell you what, you get tired quick too if you're out there at 4 a.m.
I don't. I'm so jacked up.
Had I been moving around some more, I think I would have been okay. But he was even afraid to go out and like bend over to put the tip-ups in.
You don't want to instigate anything.
No. And so we, you know, he's like, you want some coffee? I said, no, I don't want any coffee. I would love coffee, but I know what's going to happen if I have it. And he only had one cup out of his Stanley. And that was like, I think we actually kind of cut it short because the two of us had to go to the bathroom so bad.
So bad.
I said, what do you do out here? What do you do? I said, do you hit the auger in the ice and then just drop one in the hole? And he said, no, geez, what's wrong with you? No. He said, you just run for the shore and hug a tree. And I was like, yeah, I don't think it's going to be, because the idea of having to get out of my bibs and get all the way through my base layers down to ground zero.
In 28 degrees.
In 28 degrees. And then hope.
Wind blowing.
And then hope that you're not. You want to make sure that you've cleared the area, the danger zone with your clothing. At the same time, I just didn't like any of that, of how that was shaping up. So we got
to mention eyeballing who's pulling into the parking lot while you're there in the, you know, starting position.
How do you, I mean, now we've talked about this before. I know that you're very regular, and 5 minutes after you wake up in the morning, regardless of what time you wake up in the morning, you're taking care of business. What do you do on the ice when it's time to go, number two?
I've not had to deal with that. So
you're so seriously?
Yeah, seriously. And I ice fish a lot.
Yeah. Okay. So when you dragged your son out on the ice, he never had that problem either, or does he know better than to tell you that he has to go to the bathroom?
No. We don't have those issues. I would assume if you got a shanty, I don't know what people do. I would assume carry some type of heavy duty emergency plastic bag. And hey, y'all, you mind stepping outside of the shanty for about 2 minutes, please?
Yeah,
like right now.
I was just thinking.
And then do what they got to do.
5 gallon bucket with a plastic bag in it and a toilet seat would work great.
There you go.
For that, I think that might be the case next time.
Yeah.
I'm going to set something up.
Easy enough to carry.
Yeah. We could load it right into the sled. But anyway, for all you out there with a bad stomach.
I can hear that conversation walking out on the ice. Yeah. I see you got a first aid kit in there. That's cool.
I'll carry that.
What's the pail and bag for?
It's to carry the first aid kit.
Yeah.
That was it. So anyway, we didn't catch anything. And we used dead bait the rest of the time.
Yeah, that makes a long day.
And ice fishing is not, I enjoyed spending time with my friend.
Yeah, it's tough when the fish are shut down.
Yeah.
It's extremely tough. No tougher time than when you're ice fishing, because it's cold and it sucks the fun out of it. If you're there to catch fish and it's not happening, for me, because of my mindset and just because of my mindset, if they're not biting, I just go into let's let's figure this out. I want to solve the
puzzle. You would have moved.
Yeah, I would have moved.
You would have packed the shelter up, or you just left the shelter where it was and just changed and gone out further?
I would have left the shelter, and I would have ranged out digging different holes and searching, covering as much ground as I could. I mean, I'll sit on a spot. If I don't see something coming in 5-10 minutes, depending on the species now, I'm drilling more holes. Case in point, a good friend of mine and I, that we went 2 days ago. We went ice fishing to a body of water that had just gotten hammered 2 weekends in a row by ice fishing derbies. I mean, a lot of people on the ice. And this is a place that it's relatively shallow.
Mm-hmm.
There's really, I mean, deep water there. There's no deep water. It's all shallow, but it's a good size body of water and very popular for ice fishing. But towards the end of the winter, once you get into, you know, late February, March, the dissolved oxygen content just diminishes so much that the fish shut down. And they've had derbies there in March where nobody even got a bite. I mean, that's shut down big time with 60 people on the ice. Nobody gets a bite. So we like to go there because of the quality of the fish. And I was targeting the larger bluegill that are in there. All we did was go to jig, and he brought his shanty, but we never set it up. It actually got up to 31 degrees. It was 20 degrees when we started. We were the first ones on the ice. We were there early, and eventually about probably 24 other people showed up throughout the day. There was a group of 14 right behind us, but they caught one fish. And we ended up with 35, but we had to work for them. We both went strictly to jig, and my buddy drilled 4 holes. I drilled 3 just to start. We worked all those holes. No bites. So we drilled more. We drilled another set of, you know, half dozen, 8 holes. We jigged all those. Nothing. So we drilled another set. And then we started getting a few fish, but that was it. We continued to branch out and dig more holes. We didn't have 200 holes on the ice when we left, because our fourth set, we found a consistent bite. We ended up with exactly 35 fish on the ice that day. And I brought home 10 to fillet up for our Monday night fish fries I have with my dad. And so I got a couple Monday nights out of that, but they weren't biting at first. And we saw so many people show up, not get bit, and leave. And we were there 7.5 hours. To be honest with you, 35 is a good day. But on that lake, we've had days on the ice when we caught 70 fish. And so you tend to expect that from that place. But going in with the realization that it's getting late in the winter, this place might be shutting down because of the dissolved oxygen. So 35 was actually a decent number for this time of the year. And we, my buddy moved around and experimented, because the spot we landed on, he found. And he said, I just had 3 fish in a row out of this hole get over here and cut a hole next to me. So I did, about 6 foot away, and we're working together. And my initial drop in that hole, my rod loaded up, and I lifted out an 11-inch perch. And I said, yeah, okay, you found him. And then my hole got crazy busy, and his shut down. We're 6 foot away. I said, drill another one closer. So now we're 3 foot away. And for whatever reason, my hole stayed busy and they went biting his 3 feet away. So he started checking some of the earlier holes, and he got a fish here, a fish there. But
it's the classic. It's the classic fish next to Roy and he'll catch fish and you won't.
Yeah. I don't like when that happens. And I don't understand when that happens. How can it be so one-sided when we're 3 feet apart? I don't, you know, he's like, maybe I should drill another one in between these two. I said, do it. I got no problem with that. Let's figure eight it, you know, let's. And, but he wouldn't do that. And the crazy thing is, he caught, out of the 35 fish, he caught 11. Okay. I caught 24. I caught 24 out of one single hole. That's the only place I could get bit. He caught them out of about 4 or 5 different holes throughout the day. I couldn't do that. I tried other holes. They didn't work. Once I saw what was going on with the one I drilled next to him, I camped on that. And That's why I ended up with 24 fish. But the cool thing is I caught 5 different species out of that one single hole. It was crazy.
See, we didn't catch any other species. And when I was leaving the parking lot, of course, I made sure to chat with the other fishermen that were there. Because by the time we were leaving, the lake was filling up with fishermen. Because we were the only ones out there at 4.
At 4 a.m.
And at 5. Yeah. And at 6. And at 7. 8:30, we started to hear some snow dogs. You know, 9 and 10, we started to see the four-wheelers out there and a couple mules on the ice, which, yep, by the way, is 13 inches thick. It's real thick right now.
Yeah.
You know, we even used the little green light to try and bring in some bait fish. And
Yeah.
Didn't work. It was cool to see the ice light up, though, and, like, the green holes. That was
all right. Yeah.
But the guys, when I was leaving, they both said that they had caught really large smallmouth that day and a couple of perch. Yeah, they caught. They said that the average smallmouth was between 3 and 4 pounds that they're pulling.
There's some solid fish in that lake.
Yeah, I did. It's a tough, but tell me if I'm wrong though. Even when it's not iced over, I haven't had the greatest luck on that lake fishing. Is it a difficult lake to fish? Is it a matter of knowing?
Once you learn it, it's a phenomenal fishery. You and I are fishing that together this year.
All right. Roy, I'm always down to go fishing. You know this.
Yeah. Don't get upset if I catch 16 and you catch 3.
That's the way it usually goes anyway.
No, let me. That actually happened one time.
Humble brag. Yeah. Don't be upset if I catch an exorbitant amount of fish and you catch.
No, I didn't really want to say that.
I was on a lake today. I only caught 75. It was a disaster.
We have had days on that. Like a good friend of mine went out there, caught 140 perch from one boat position. One day, one of the most fantastic days he's ever had. We've had multiple 100-plus days on that lake. We've also gone out there and been humbled and caught zilch. So zilch is an invasive species, by the way. You don't want to catch those.
Zilch is an invasive species.
It is in my world. I absolutely hate to get skunked. I work hard against it. But as I like to refer to myself, I am tragically human and it still happens. And it keeps you humble. But I go out with the intent every time of catching them as best as I can. Yeah, let's fish the lake together. And you tell me if you want to go for smallmouth, if you want to go for perch, whatever you want to go for. And we'll do that. And we'll give a report and see how we fare.
I want to go up to the Thousand Islands with you.
That's a trip.
How often do you get up there?
I've twice.
Twice on the St. Lawrence?
Twice ever. Yeah.
Well, maybe we can go for a third time, Roy.
Yeah. Third time's a charm. I'd love to go back. I just got to budget the time to do it. And it's as good as that fishery is. And I will make it back. But there's, you know how many quality fisheries I drive past on the way to get there that it's so hard for me to not stop and fish. There's so much good fishing everywhere all around us. I have a hard time making a long drive to a destination when I could be spending that 6 hours on the water somewhere. Mm-hmm. But I got to get over that. I got to get past that.
Anyway, well, geez, we're like 30 minutes in and we haven't even gone into today's topic yet. What did you want to touch on today, Mr. Bilby?
Actually we did, because I knew you'd been on the ice. I wanted to hear about that. Wanted to talk about our recent trip to the lake that gets oxygen depleted. And the interesting thing about that, like I said, there was about 24 people on the ice and everybody was fishing close by. I mean, you could hear everybody's conversations. You could turn around in your seat and take part. We even had a guy come over to us and say, you guys are the only ones we see catching fish. We're kind of new at this. This is what we're using. Will that work? I said, yeah, that's the same thing we're using. You know, we're using little tungsten jigs with wax worms because we're targeting for bluegill. And we actually caught more perch than bluegill, but they were good size. I did catch a couple nice palm-sized bluegills that I brought back as well. But they were just brand new. It was their first time ice fishing. They drove all the way up from Long Island to ice fish for the day, and they fished about 3 hours. They did catch one pumpkin seed. They were the only group that we saw besides one other one that had a flag and caught a pickerel. Of all the people we saw on the ice, they were the only other people besides us that we saw catch a fish, and that one other group, and they had one pumpkin seed. There was three of them, two gentlemen and a teenager, and they fished about 3 hours and they had enough. But I mean, when they're not biting and you're ice fishing, that's tougher than any other time, because it's cold, it's winter, and conditions can be brutal. I posted a video on Instagram of a trip we took to the lake you fished when the wind was blowing sideways 40 miles an hour. And that was the day we all went out a mile with a snow dog, and then it broke. It's fixed now, and we're actually using it this Wednesday to go to a different lake to chase some perch. And soon as we're done recording, this morning, I'm hooking up with my buddy I fished the shallow lake with to fish another lake about 8 minutes from my house to try to get the bluegill we didn't get 2 days ago. So this is another lake that's got palm-sized bluegills, and if you can find them in the winter, you can load up a 5-gallon pail. So all I want is bring back is 15. That's 3 Monday night fish fries for my dad and I. And, you know, we're having walleye tonight.
Are you?
Yeah.
Did you pull me any out?
Last pack of walleye that I got in the freezer right now.
You're going to pull me out some perch? I'll take a ride out to you.
Yeah. Well, I've got perch in the freezer, but we're going to restock on Wednesday.
When am I going to eat?
We'll have to have you for a Monday night. Monday night's good for you?
Well, yeah. I'm over here, you know, waiting for the official invite. Okay. Go munch on your fish.
Let me do a package up for three people, because every package in the freezer is a two-man package. We do, if we're doing perch, crappie, bluegill, it's 5 fillets apiece, which is plenty. And you know, that's just 5 perch, 5 bluegill, 5 crappie. But I'll do a package for three people, and then you will get the official invite.
Yeah. As I, you know, I've successfully invited myself twice, but I keep on getting shut out.
Well, like we say, we're beating a dead horse here with this episode, but the third time will be a charm.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will.
When you get the official invite, you will hear trumpets in the background cascading.
You're going to walk out there in those tights and blow the horn out in front of my house.
Oh, yeah.
Big trumpet.
Same when I open the door to the Hall of Rods, I hear those trumpets every time.
Yeah. Lovely. So. All right. Well, very good. Make sure to check out Roy's Instagram at all lowercase Roy Bilby, and join us at the Utica Bass Pro Shops on March 22nd during the Spring Fishing Classic. We are doing our 1-year anniversary show going live with it in front of the tank. I'll be busting Ray's chops while he's doing demos, and we're gonna have a good time. What time is that startup? We'll probably record like 11.
You called me Ray.
I called you Ray.
You said I'll be busting Ray's chops when he's doing tank demos.
I'll be busting Roy's chops. My boss's name is Ray, who's a new listener, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I got a new listener the other day, too.
Did you?
Yeah.
Who'd you get?
Well, this is the lake that we're going to today. This lady is a retired...
Ooh, it's a lady.
School principal. She was a principal when my kids were in school. She was the most phenomenal with kids I've ever seen. Totally relatable, and just did all the right things and made an impression on so many young people, because she was in a position to do so and did. And she knows my son because she had him in school, and she listened to the Growing Up Bilby podcast. And
it's been a while since he got choked up on here, Roy.
She enjoyed it. Well, she said, I said, if you're going to listen to an episode, this is the one you want to listen to, because She said, well, I had him in school. Yeah. She said, oh, I know Ryan. I'll enjoy that one. I said, well, I got to warn you. He dumps a little dirt on me, but he cleans it up nicely. So, yeah, she enjoyed that. And we're going to fish that lake today.
Well, but good.
We're picking up people all the time. She'd never listened to a podcast before, so we got a first timer. So,
oh, right on. And also welcome to all the folks that have been, you know, big shout out to Matt Bull, who's who's been posting this thing up all over Reddit and Facebook fishing groups and other places. He's like our de facto communications czar.
Distributor.
And we're also going to be moving some stuff over to YouTube as well. That'll be exciting in the upcoming year. We'll be doing some video stuff on there. And you can listen to the podcast on there too. But things are expanding with the Angler Within in 2025, and that's what we were shooting for. So it's good.
And as always, we appreciate everybody that does listen. I appreciate all the comments I get through my DM on Instagram. And we've said this before, that the whole point of this podcast is to take my 40 years of writing everything down and the experiences I've learned from and putting them out to shorten everybody else's learning curve as they tap into their own Angler Within.